You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudette. The pandemic has wreaked havoc in places like nursing homes and prisons around the region. State psychiatric hospitals say they controlled COVID-19 a lot better, though there are some notable exceptions. The Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck reports.
State-run psychiatric facilities have dozens of people coming in, often on court order, and then leaving days, weeks, or months later. Surprisingly, most of these hospitals in the Mountain West reported far fewer outbreaks and deaths than other group facilities.
As far as patients on the unit, we didn't have any cases or anybody tested positive until later on.
Randy Rodriguez is the administrator at Idaho State Hospital South. There were outbreaks there, but they didn't happen until a year or so into the pandemic. And neither of the state's two facilities reported any COVID deaths as of late April.
I feel like we've handled it really well. And obviously the big thing for our staff are just kind of our screening every day. We have to do a screening for COVID.
These facilities are required to have infectious disease plans. And Rodriguez says that since many patients come via hospitals or jails, they're screened for the virus beforehand. The state hospital in Utah also reported zero COVID-related deaths as of late April. It did have some outbreaks, though, including 47 patients in late 2020 and 74 patients this year. Dallas Earnshaw is superintendent there. Early on, he worried about what the pandemic would look like in his facility. But
as it went on and I saw how staff pulled together and everybody took it seriously, I thought, you know what, I think we got this.
Also, as of late April, New Mexico reported zero patient deaths from COVID, Colorado reported one death after a patient left a facility, and Nevada reported one staff death. Some are skeptical of the low numbers. Kurt Decker heads the National Disability Rights Network. He says many of the network's state advocacy groups were just getting back inside psychiatric hospitals this spring. They had to monitor virtually for the last few years, which he says wasn't ideal.
We had situations where you could tell the staff person was sitting behind the individual, you know, on the call and trying to figure out how to elicit information, you know, when they're probably being somewhat monitored.
Decker says the Wyoming Disability Rights Group is fighting for more access there. That state's hospital reported three COVID-related deaths and 28 infections as of early May. Decker would also like to check how psychiatric hospitals across the U.S. recorded COVID death and infection numbers.
It would be interesting to see whether the fact that they reported them or not, and that whether, you know, if there were deaths, you know, were they attributed to COVID?
Some states have murkier data than others. Arizona health officials refused to release data on COVID deaths and infections at their state hospital. Some there are fighting for more oversight of that facility. And then there's Montana. Here's disability rights advocate Bernadette Franks-Ongoy in a legislative hearing in March.
We have a facility that is understaffed, underpaid, undertrained, and underappreciated.
Montana's one state hospital, where three COVID deaths were reported, recently lost federal funding. That followed staff complaints about leadership, a failure to implement plans, and extremely low staffing levels, which created an unsafe environment. Short staffing is affecting all other facilities, too, regardless of how well they've handled the pandemic. Back in Idaho, Laura Hill is head of nursing at State Hospital South. She says part of the problem is they didn't have nursing students during the pandemic.
And that's kind of how people come here and they experience our hospital and then they want to work here. And so we hire a lot from our nursing programs. So we kind of lost that opportunity.
The nation's housing crisis is also challenging for staff and patients. To control further outbreaks, hospitals need enough staff, and those staff need housing. Patients also need safe places to live before they can be discharged. And when that's delayed, it can cause other issues, possibly making COVID outbreaks harder to deal with. Kevin Young is the social services director with the Idaho Hospital.
Being able to have a safe and appropriate setting for patients to discharge to is an ongoing issue.
Meanwhile, workers simply have to keep being creative, fighting burnout, dealing with COVID cases, and trying to work with people who are often experiencing the most challenging time of their lives. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
Madeline joins us now for more on this story. Welcome back, Madeline.
Good to be here.
All right. So how did you get started working on this story? Why were you looking at this?
Yeah. So, I mean, a couple of years ago, I ended up going to State Hospital South to talk with folks about, you know, a potential death, or I guess it's a, I was working on another story and I ended up there. And now more recently, I was reading a book by Oliver Sacks called Everything in Its Place. And he talks a lot about working in these psychiatric facilities. And so it got me thinking, you know, I really haven't heard much from psychiatric hospitals, especially state-run psychiatric hospitals, during the pandemic. We've heard a lot about what was going on in jails, numbers of COVID cases rising there, COVID deaths at certain prisons across the U.S., but I hadn't heard as much about state psychiatric facilities until I ended up starting reporting just as more information was coming out about Montana's state psychiatric facility and that they were losing funding for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid and Medicare just because their facility was no longer deemed safe enough because they had such low staffing levels. So because of that, I really wanted to just check in and see, you know, how the rest of the facilities in the region were going, you know, how they were handling this. And yeah, that's how I ended up getting into reporting on this and what we have today.
Wow. Wow. So tell us a little bit about how state hospitals play a larger role in the larger mental health ecosystem.
Yeah, so the whole ecosystem, we've known throughout the pandemic, we have had increasing levels of different kinds of mental health challenges from people. We've heard about increasing rates of depression, you know, lots of increasing rates of anxiety. Now, those things generally won't be making their way all the way up to the state hospital. The state hospital, I think from Randy Rodriguez, the administrator there, he says about 99% of the people at the State Hospital South are there under civil commitment or there for restoration of competency. So those are people who are court ordered to be there because they are a danger to themselves or others, or are there because they weren't deemed competent to stand trial. They couldn't understand what was being held against them as defendants or, you know, so yeah, that's generally what their population looks like. But then the rest of the ecosystem is, you know, at the ground level, you have people seeking therapists, you have people seeking psychiatrists, then you have the local psychiatric facilities all the way until you get to those state hospitals. And then after the state hospitals, then you have the problem of finding places where people can go after that. And that's where we run into those housing problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you had you drilled down into each of the states that you looked at, including Idaho, with more stats. I see the first patient with COVID at State Hospital South at Blackfoot was in December 2020 and four outbreaks last year. What else did you find out?
Yeah, and so generally, you know, they had that first patient at State Hospital South late 2020, but that was that one patient. They didn't even have multiple patients until August of 2021. That's after vaccines had become available. And so that was a very long time. They didn't have any outbreaks.
Wow.
From what we've seen at other nursing facilities and what we've seen at other prisons and jails, I think that's notable. They did say that, you know, over the course of the whole pandemic, they had 45 patients who were deemed, you know, COVID-19 positive there. And a lot of people might say, you know, well, that facility only has about 110 beds. That's half of the population. But the population is constantly changing. The turnover there, so lots more people are coming in and going out. And so that's over the course of, you know, 3 years that they had 45 positives. So yeah, and then other than that, you know, right next to that facility in Blackfoot is a Syringa nursing facility, and they had no deaths there from COVID either, and only four cases reported. And then there's State Hospital North, our other state psychiatric facility in Idaho. They did report 28 total patient cases, and they also say that multiple came to the facility while positive because, quote, the sending facility refused to test prior to admission. So that's it's also, you know, the problem of getting testing before people are going. Because a lot of these people, like I say again, you know, they're going to be at the emergency room beforehand, or they're going to potentially be in a jail, or they're going to be at another facility before they're transferred to one of these state hospitals.
Wow. Oh, we've been speaking with Madeline Beck with the Mountain West News Bureau about her story on state hospitals. We're going to put a link to her story on our Idaho Matters website at BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Thanks, Madeline.
Thank you.
Coming up tomorrow on Idaho Matters, we'll take a look at the latest water supply outlook for Idaho, and we'll find out what to watch this weekend with our resident movie critic, George Prentice. Join us Thursday at noon for Idaho Matters, and thank you for joining us today. Our assistant producer is Hannah Gardosky. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat. Have a great Wednesday.